We did something a little bit different. And I kind of liked the idea. And hopefully we'll transport that idea into Sabbath school here. Now, one of the participants in that program was Bonnie Molitor. And she was telling us her story. And then when she got to the end of the story, I felt like there was more to it. And what I'd like to title this program this morning, The Rest of the Story. Bonnie?
Isn't God great? Ken and I are converts. We haven't always been members of this faith. And while we were studying to learn more, God was also doing something in my employment, my job. I had majored in economics and sociology in college. And when I got out of school, he provided a job for me at Chase Manhattan Bank in New York. And there I was a credit analyst. In those days, they didn't have women doing that work. And so I was pleased that I was able to ask for the financial statements of major commercial accounts. And then I would do spreadsheets, cash flow analysis, and whatever else they required so that my work could then be handed to the vice presidents and they would make the decisions on lending these commercial accounts millions of dollars. While I was liking that work and trained for it, God came one day, and again, this is while we were studying to become Seventh-day Adventists. God came one day, and he picked me up out of that job, and he sat me down right in the midst of the Channel 10 television newsroom, where I did not belong. And the media group there let me know right away that I did not belong there. After all, I had not studied journalism. I had not worked in it. I had never even been a beat reporter for a lousy high school newspaper. And there I was. And not only that, again, God in his infinite mercy gave me the position of being the first woman to anchor the news in San Diego. And in all his wisdom, he actually asked me also to be on the news set every evening, Monday through Friday, at 5 to 5:30. Well, Ken and I were baptized in October of that year, just as the clocks turned back and the days got much shorter. And I had shared with a group on Wednesday a couple weeks ago the horror I felt as someone came from the outside as I was finishing my news story for the set that night, and a beam of light shone on the floor by my feet. And I saw that it was light of a setting sun. And I still had at least an hour more to go. It was a new thing for me, and the clock changing just then, and having been baptized the week before, it kind of all came together. I'm not going to go over all the details of what I went through that evening in a short period of time, but God worked out a miracle. He allowed me not only to keep my job, but he softened the hearts of those who were going to all of a sudden allow me to exit the new set where I was already promoted to be that evening. And it was for an indeterminate time. I couldn't tell them how long the sun was going to set about that time during the winter. Yet they allowed me to do it. But I want to go on from there, as Dale has said. Channel 10, KGTV, was a closed union shop. I had gladly joined the union when I went to work there. But something started happening to my heart over the years, over the months that I first was working there. And God convicted me that I should not be paying dues to the union. Now, I want to say right here, there are many in the church who do not feel that way. They do not have that conviction. And I uphold that. But that's not what God was doing in my heart. And he was very strong. And one day, I got up. I was homesick. And I got up and I called the union office in San Diego. Now, as being on the air, you're called talent. Now, they also refer to you as artists. And I was a member of the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. I called that union. And I knew a lot of the people at the office. I knew the person who answered the phone. And I tried to explain what I was feeling. And I was asking them if they could please allow me to take the equal amount of my money for the union dues and pay it to a charity. And the woman whom I knew said, Bonnie, Do you realize what you're asking? That's how we live. We support you in your job, and we use your union dues to support our family. So I got off that phone call, and I thought, well, God, is this really what you wanted me to do? And I called the Religious Liberty Office of our conference. Many of you know about that office. I know Betsy does. And at the Religious Liberty Office, I got to talk to Elder Stevens. He was there at the time. He knew what I was talking about. And he said, oh, Bonnie, yeah, we have pamphlets and we have court cases, and I'll send them out to you. And would you like me also to send them to the union office? I said, wow, that'd be great, because I kind of think I don't know what I'm doing here. So he did, and he said, I'll get back to you. It'll probably be in a week or so. And he did. He called me, and he said, well, your information has gone from San Diego on to New York. And he said, I want to caution you right now. He said, the reading from them is not good. He said, I think you have a 50 or 60% chance, maybe greater, that they will deny your request and you must leave the job. And so he said, you know, again, this is not one of the tenets of faith of the church. So pray about it and see if God is really urging you to do this, because it's possible it's going to cost you your job. I knew about the 30-day rule. So I went home that day, or I went on the calendar that day at work the next day, and I wrote down 30 days, beginning the day before and out 20, 29, 30 days. And no one said a thing to me. I didn't know what was going on. So every day I worked, because I knew it was God's job. He had provided it. I definitely didn't have the talent for it. So he had given it to me, and I'd just go on doing the work. And on the 29th day, as I left the news studio for my news segment that evening, I passed directly in front of the shop steward's office. And this day he called me in, the 29th day. He said, sit down, I want to talk to you. He said, do you know what I want to talk to you about? And I said, yes, I think I do. I think you're going to tell me this is my last day at work here. And he said, well, he said, I don't think you know what you started. He said, do you know, I'm going to tell you if you don't. He said that you were the only person, man and woman, in the entire country to ask such a thing. And it really threw us for a loop. But New York has decided that they're going to honor your request. And he said, in fact, you can take that money you had set aside to pay the union dues next month, which I wasn't going to pay. He said, and you can put that directly to the charity of your choice. Well, I practically went out there singing and crying at the same time. And I said to God, what is it that you require of me? What do you want me to do? And I heard this small voice say, I want you to love somebody for me. And I thought, wow, Lord, this is going to be easy. This is going to be easy now, because I'm a caring person. I'd love to love somebody. Who is it? Who do you have in mind? And he said, it's the producer of the noon show that you co-anchor. And I said, oh, no, Lord. No, just give me another person. I'll gladly do it. But it can't be this one. I said, don't you know? Haven't you heard him hurl obscenities at me across the newsroom? He sabotaged my work. He hates me. He can't stand to look at me. And every day I have to work with him, and he would assign me stories to write up for the news at noon. And I said, I can't do it. And you know what he said to me in return? He said, Bonnie, do you think I love him less than you? I said, no, God, you don't. He said, do you think my son didn't die for him? I said, no, Lord. I know that wasn't true. So what can I do? And he said, you've got to rely on me, and I'm going to lead you through it. But it's going to be a miracle. I said, I'm sure of that. So I found myself standing in the newsroom in a position where this fellow could not see me. And I would stand there and I would say, God loves you, and so must I. God loves you, and so must I. And at the same time, I started praying that God would protect, or he'd put a hedge around my heart, so that the things he continued to say to me that were really abusive and very hurtful, that he would protect my heart somehow, so I could just concentrate on the task he had given me. And I can say, after 6 to 9 months, the impossible became possible because of what God did. And he brought me to the point where I could look at this man and say, God loves you, and so do I. And not long after that, God removed him as a thorn in my side. I don't know where he went, somewhere else, and I never saw him again. At the same time when he was doing that, our merciful God was doing something else for me. He had watched me suffer at the hands of the other people in the media who knew that I didn't deserve to be there and told me in many different ways that they knew. And so he started to help me do better research on my stories, because we would be assigned something and then we would have to do our own research and we would validate our sources and we did our own writing. And so with his help, I began to be able to dig deeper in my research. I began to be able to write better stories. And I found that if you put the right pictures together with the appropriate words, the impact was absolutely dramatic. And after about a year, the news director came to me and he said, "Bonnie, this is the time of the year when we do our awards and we submit stories for these." One of them was the Associated Press, one was the San Diego Press Club, one was the Southern California News Reporters Association. And he said, "Would it be all right with you if I submitted some of your stories?" And I said, "Wow, yeah, if you think you should." And he said, "Yes, I'm going to." And then after he left my side, I thought, "Boy, I sure hope he doesn't, and the San Diego Press Club, submit me under the awards Joe McMahon, fellow reporter of mine, always goes for and always wins." That would be so embarrassing to have him think that I thought my story was worthy of being in competition with his, because he always won the Best Investigative Reporter Award. An investigative reporter, to those who were reporters, was way up here. And I knew I was down here somewhere. But guess what? That's where my series of reports was sent, in that category. To my amazement, Joe didn't win that year. And the Lord helped me to go on and win several other awards over a course of time, including even an Emmy, and I was actually nominated for the Covetous Peabody Award. God was so good, and he did that, I know, because I needed salve on those wounds, and he had watched me suffer, and he cares so much about each of us, he wanted to help. At the same time, the phone started ringing. People would call, and they'd say, "You know, I hear you're a Christian. Would you come and give your testimony to our group?" And I'm talking about religious groups that weren't Adventist. And I went wherever the calls led me. And then one evening, it was about 5:30, and I was ready to go out the door. And as I entered the newsroom from the studio, someone said to me, "You have a viewer who's on the phone. She wants to talk to you. Shall I tell her to call back tomorrow morning because you're going out of the office now?" And that's what I wanted to say. But that still small voice said, "Take the call." And on the end of the other end of the phone that day, that evening, was Laverne. She was very sick. I didn't know her at all. I'd never heard from her before, and I didn't know why she had chosen to call me. And Laverne said that she was dying. And I didn't know what she wanted, and I knew I couldn't say, "What do you want from me, Laverne?" It wasn't appropriate. She was seriously ill. So I just listened, and I prayed. I said, "God, what do you want me to say to her?" And it didn't immediately come to me what I should say. And then Laverne stopped talking, and I was afraid she was passing out. So I said to her, "Laverne, give me your address. I'll come to your house, and I'll take you to the hospital. That's where you need to go. I can't help you right now." She said, "What?" And I said, "Give me your address right away. I can go out the door, and I'll be at your house or wherever you are." She said, "Why? Why would you do that?" And I said, "Well, I'm a Christian, and I think God would have me do that." And she was silent again. And she said, "Will you continue to talk to me if I go to the hospital?" I said, "Yes, tomorrow, tonight, whenever you want." That began a several-year-long friendship, a very unlikely friendship, because as I found out more about Laverne, I learned that she was a leader of a very violent San Diego street gang. She grew up on drugs. She sold drugs. She used them heavily. I knew nothing about drugs at that time. She had OD'd that night, and she surely was dying. It wasn't her first time either. But we began to talk to one another, and over a period of time, Laverne allowed me the privilege of introducing her to my best friend, and she received Jesus, and her life changed. And I know there isn't time to continue talking, but I know that each one of you has a plan that God has written for your life. Some of you have already followed it. Some of you have yet to do that. And I also have learned that he has a storehouse of love and mercy and forgiveness that he's anxious to pour out, not only on us, because he know it will overflow, but on others. And so I hope you've already found what that plan of life is for yours. And I'm praying again for a new source of direction for my life, because we serve an awesome God. Thank you. Amen.